Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Timber Living Log Cabins. For your perfect workspace, living space or hideaway, timberliving.ie.
Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.
All that talk about climate earlier, and it's really, really interesting. The Irish Times has a front page story about how Dublin City Council is going to no longer cut the grass verges beside footpaths in order to support the establishment of wildflower-rich swards. A sward is an expanse of short grass, but incidentally, it is one of 20 pieces in today's Irish Times, which is related to climate and the biodiversity crisis. That's according to Kevin O'Sullivan. It's environment and science editor, who says, given we are in uncharted territory, this level of coverage is required. Well, now we're going to go from climate to chowder in an interesting segue with Niall Savonghi from the Seafood Cafe in Dublin. How are you?
Very well, thanks. How are you?
Good to have you here. Now, listen, this chowder is a question that can divide the purists and the interpreters. But what, in your opinion, and at your own personal risks, are the defining characteristics
of a chowder?
For me, it's got to obviously have seafood. Mm-hmm. It has to be cream based. It's got to have potatoes. So they're the kind of the trinity of things that they need to have for it to be a chowder.
And does it have to be light, soupy, or stewy?
Definitely light. I know, like, the more traditional kind of chowder that you find around Ireland, which are delicious. They're very kind of
winter soups.
Gloopy is a bad word for them, yeah. But, you know, they are, they're thick and heavy and they're more wintry, where I'd much rather something that's light and more brothy almost.
Okay, so light on that. But thicker, kind of gloopy-ish Irish chowder has been around for quite a long time.
It's been around forever. It's been around forever, and it's thick, and it's people love it. For me, though, it's definitely I much rather the lighter one, where you can taste the seafood individually, and you can taste the vegetables and the different kind of characteristics that are going on in the chowder.
So how do you get that then? If it's, because you definitely want a cream based one, but you want it to be light. So
I want a cream based one. So when I make one, so like the kind of classic one that I do now is kind of it's a leek and potato kind of based light broth, and then we poach the fish in the milk for it, and then use that milk then to make the soup, which is much lighter and more.
And for you, this is an all year round chowder.
Definitely all year round chowder. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I would struggle to make one myself, but is it easy to put together?
So easy to make one. And it doesn't have to. You know, it's not complicated. It can be really, really quick. I think the recipe you guys have, it's about a 15-minute recipe to make a chowder at home, and it's really, really simple. Just simply by poaching off your fish in some milk and cream, and then adding your veggies and bits and pieces to it, and then adding your fish back into it, and then you have a lovely, light, kind of fragrant chowder.
Often when I kind of, it's maybe the fish that I've put aside or put in the freezer for another day. Is that good? Is that safe to use? Are you fresh?
It can be. It depends on how it goes in. Yeah. A lot of people put fish in the freezer, think it's a time machine that's going to somehow make the fish fresh again.
I always think next week, tomorrow.
And it's not. So it'll be frozen fish when it's fresh. Yeah, delicious. Yeah.
But do you kind of think, okay, I'll throw that in a soup and it won't be as...
I think the key with it is, when you're cooking the chowder soup, is to make the chowder base, is to make your soup base, and make it whatever way you like, and then just poach your fish in it just before you're about to serve it. And then the fish is lovely and delicate and decadent. Whereas if you leave it in it and it stews and it boils away, it just turns into mush and it, you know, you find little pieces of it. Whereas I'd rather, you know, distinguish the pieces, you know, that's a piece of cod or that's a piece of pollock or that's a piece of smoked fish. So you can see them all individually.
So you should be able to distinguish it.
Yeah, shouldn't yeah. Just rather be than a, like, you know, yeah. a kind of a red and white kind of, you know,
mush.
Yeah.
You have croutons in yours. Is that not very controversial?
Probably is very controversial, but sure look.
And why?
I just love the texture of them. I think it goes back to those old cup of soups. I used to love the, you know, cup of soup when I come home from school with the croutons in it.
That's
so I decided to make the kind of, you know, a kind of a restaurant-y version of it.
The bread pieces sort of expanded when you put,
ours aren't quite that. You know, ours are actually a take on, originally when we started the chowder, I started making a biscuit with it, which is like a scone, that American kind of scone. And we did a cheddar cheese one, but it was just too much. It was too much food. So we started, so we kind
and
of deviated
America,
from there.
You know, having lived there, there's a lot of different variations of chowder depending on which area you're in.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, obviously, you've got the Manhattan clam chowder, which is the red chowder, which is a deviation of actually an Italian,
kind of minestrone, but not quite. It's sort of a mix. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the further down the coast you get, you got things like cioppino, which again is a type of chowder. And a cioppino is amazing. And the word cioppino comes from, it's kind of slang for chip in, where the fishermen would all chip in different bits of fish and they cook it in a light tomato broth, which is stunning, which is beautiful. Really, really tastes, especially this time of year.
And what about the other versions of the New England is more like kind of Massachusetts Boston is more like ours, isn't it?
Yeah, that's exactly. Yeah, it's that kind of creamier, heavier based chowder.
Yeah. Well, actually, we must. I wonder, do we have a clip of that? Because
I love that.
It was so controversial. It even made its way into the pronunciation into a classic Simpsons episode. Do we have a clip of that?
Hey, what the hell is this?
It's a bowl of chowder, sir.
Wait a minute. Come here. What did you call it? Say it loud enough so everyone can hear. Come on, say it.
Chowder.
Ha ha ha. Chowder! Chowder! It's chowder! Say it right!
Absolutely, absolutely brilliant. Now, the one you mentioned there, San Francisco cioppino, is that a different, totally different consistency?
It's a fish
again?
Soup. I mean, like the Manhattan red chowder is based off the Italian Portuguese zuppa de pesca that kind of came over with the immigrants into the States, and that's what became the Manhattan red chowder. It's not really a chowder. There's no potatoes in it. There's no cream in it. So for me, it wouldn't really be a chowder. So it's more based on that. And again, the cioppino is another kind of variation of what the kind of the European immigrants would have brought into the States and made really, really popular.
Yeah. Obviously it has become a bit of an Irish staple, and particularly maybe for tourists as well. Do you have to drink a pint of Guinness with it, or is that just a little bit of a tourism add-on?
Look, a pint of Guinness is good pretty much any time of day, to be fair.
I'd be thinking a Pinot Grigio.
So I was going to say, like, generally no, like with something heavy and creamy like that, you don't necessarily want something heavy and creamy to go with it. You know, a glass of Pickpull or a Chardonnay or, you know, any glass of nice crisp white wine for me would be much nicer. We'll cut through the
And where did the Guinness thing just come out of? Was that just
I think it's just really good marketing by Guinness. It's like Guinness is good for you, you know. Yeah. Which I still believe it is. Oh, I'll have a Guinness.
This is good for me.
That will right all my wrongs in my life. Yeah. Like,
It sort of has become, or maybe it is just, I live in a seaside village as well, so maybe I just kind of see that. I know we're here to talk about chowder. I'll not attempt the other pronunciation. But I can't let you go. Lobster rolls, which is another thing that you are synonymous with at this stage, I just sort of see as a huge big sort of import from my early years of living in the States.
Yeah, lobster rolls. Like when I first put them on the menu, I never thought that they were going to follow me around. So it's like probably 15 years later, and I really can't write a menu and not put a lobster roll on. People get very upset. And I suppose when I first put it on, I looked so...
Fish on bread, I could never get my head around it.
Hmm?
I could never get my head around the fish on bread.
Oh, fish on bread's delicious. Yeah. Just a piece of poached fish, like just on some white, you know, batch bread with some butter. Oh.
Butter. How is the food, before I let you go, how is the food truck going out in Skerries?
It's going really well. I live out in Skerries, so it's great. The Salty Boy, so it's down in Skerries Sailing Club every weekend now. And it's great because loads of the boats that we work with are based there as well. So fish coming in from the harbour and shellfish, and then we're getting to cook it up there.
Absolutely. And as always, when we get to this item, I get a little bit hungry. But Niall Sabongi from the Seafood Cafe and the Salty Boy Food Truck, thank you very much for talking to us about chowder. And I will put the recipe up on the website as well.